Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
Yeah, so we haven't chatted in a minute. Our podcast listeners are like, wait, what's going on with
Tea? I know.
We're so sorry.
we're rebranding and re-strategizing.
We're making sure we're giving the people what they want, right?
Yes. And we would really like to apologize if you're used to hearing us every week, but we figure that we can be more, what's the word? Help me here, Mrs. S.
Well, we're not going to record every week. We're just trying to make sure we figure out the best way to put everything we want to put out in the best possible way. I guess that's what it is. It's ironing out things. That's all it is. But don't worry. Just stick with us.
Exactly. You're watching us evolve real time.
I know, right? Yeah. You're listening to us evolve real time.
You're watching everything that goes into making the omelet. So.
Yeah. So while we've been away, there's been a lot going down in the atmosphere.
Way too much. Plus there was Thanksgiving.
Woo-hoo. Thanksgiving was good. You know what? I don't understand. My BDD put up a post on Facebook because I cooked as I usually do. But I've never ever had a traditional Thanksgiving. I think everybody feels turkey is synonymous with Thanksgiving. Now for me, I'm like, no, I'm going to cook what I want. So of course I made a ham for Thanksgiving. And I did a sweet potato, a mashed sweet potato, which was delicious. And at first I was like, it was B who suggested it. And so he put up, and then I had for my veggies, I did asparagus. And he put a picture of his plate. And my sister-in-law was saying, excuse me, it's Thanksgiving. What do you have on your plate? So I don't know. Is that a thing? Like, must it be turkey?
I will tell you that for the first time ever, and without letting everyone know exactly how old I am, but I made my first, dare I say last, ever turkey on Thanksgiving, because the process was ridiculous. First, you have to buy the turkey. Then you have to defrost the turkey.
Unless you have a farm, you know.
Three to 4 days to defrost a turkey, at least like a 13-pound turkey. 3 to 4 days to defrost. Then you have to massage the spices into the turkey. I was like, I need a massage. I'm not even feeling this massaging of the turkey. But we massage the turkey. Then you now put it in the oven. And then you can't even finish the damn turkey. And then you're eating turkey for weeks. Ugh.
And that's another thing, because turkeys are not particularly tasty birds. Like, just the wings, I think, are great. And those, I used to get them and just, you know, saute them a little. Is it saute? Is that the word? Mm-hmm. Just broil them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, boil. Just enough to soften it and then do a quick flash fry. And when it's seasoned really well, those turkey wings are delicious. But outside of the wings on the turkey, everything else just seems so dry. Like, there's a lot of preparation that goes into making a nice, juicy, you know, delectable turkey. Yes. So I'm just like, and so we actually do have a turkey, but we decided we're going to do the turkey for Christmas.
Right.
And I'm like, because B says, oh, yeah, I make really good turkey. And I'm like,
good luck.
What are we going to do with this? Because I know every year whenever Thanksgiving rolls around, I immediately start saying, hey, let's go to Popeyes and get that fried turkey. Let's, you know, because I've heard of it so much. I'm like, we might as well just do this, because I just don't, turkeys are not my thing. I don't.
I will confess, I was intrigued enough to say, okay, let me try it. You were asking about the traditional Thanksgiving. I think it is, people feel some sort of thing about having, what is it, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the green beans. What is it?
Stuffing,
What's, yeah, the
there's stuffing.
stuffing. What is it? The cranberry
Yeah, it's cranberry
sauce,
sauce.
the gravy. That's a bit too much for me, because so, but I think what I do like though are the con muffins, which a friend of mine stopped over and dropped off some con muffins that she got from Boston Market. Those
Yeah,
were
that's
really
also
nice.
a big Thanksgiving joint. People
Yeah.
go there for Thanksgiving and get a lot
Yeah.
of stuff from
Yeah.
Thanksgiving as well. I was like,
So, but
no.
me, I'm just like, I've never really been a very conventional person. So, you know, in my life, I'm like, do what works for you. So if your Thanksgiving is what works for you, that's all you need.
Yeah, I think last year, was it last year? I think I did the same. I've just never done a turkey. I did a goose one time.
Oh yeah, that's true. You told me about
Yeah, I
that.
did a goose. I did duck the other
Yeah,
time.
I was about to say that. I was like, you did
Yeah,
a duck
I
too,
did a
right?
goose. I did a duck. I did the Cornish hens.
Maybe next year you'll do an ostrich.
That one, we've eaten ostrich for years. Like,
Right.
we've eaten that for years. So yeah, I've just never this turkey is gonna be like, I think it's gonna be a first. I think, is it gonna be a first? Maybe I've done turkey before, I can't remember, but yeah. Thank you for saying the 4 days, because we need to.
Well, that's for 13-pound turkey, so I don't know how big your turkey is. So the
It's
defrosting
big.
is by weight.
Yeah, it's big enough.
So if you have a 20-pound turkey, maybe just bring it out now to be defrosted by
My
Christmas.
dear, it's big enough.
Put
And
it in the fridge though,
thought
and
we
you
were
know
being smart, but
you can't defrost the turkey
on the counter, it has to
at
be in the
the yeah, it
fridge,
has to be
yeah,
in the fridge,
because that's what we did with the ham.
right.
And we thought we were being smart because we ordered, there's this place in the Springs where the last time I went back to Atlanta for Thanksgiving, I actually brought a ham with me to Atlanta to cook, because that's my specialty. My hams are delicious. So that's where we ordered the meat from. And they had like a twofer or something like that. Like you get a ham and a turkey, and the size of it was like 20 or something like that. Nothing major. So we thought we're doing good. We thought we're getting like a nice size regular small ham for two people and a small turkey for two people. When the thing came, I was like, "What in the world is this? This is not what we signed up for." So I was like, "Yeah, that's not." Anyway,
Yeah.
let's get into what's going on in the world today. So here's what I saw that I'm cheering on, and I'm saying yes, hooray for that. You know about the school shooting
Yes.
that just happened,
Right.
and the what is it? The attorney, what do they call them? District attorney, what do they call those people? They're
What?
charging the parents of the boy. The parents of the boy were actually trying to abscond, you know, and then
That is allegedly,
no, they tried to run
because
away.
their
Their attorney was
attorney
saying, oh,
said they were going to sh come show up at their arraignment, but
they ran off. When the day they arrested that boy, they told those parents they were already talking about bringing charges against them, and they knew, so they took off. Their defense attorney is going to say what they're going to say, but they try to run off. That's what they try to do. But here's my thing, because I 100% applaud them bringing charges against his parents, because really, you took your child out a day or two before the shooting and told him, hey, pick your Christmas present. He picked his Christmas present. You took him. But each one of them took turns taking him out to shoot that gun. You didn't put the gun away. Then here's the part I'm saying. Yes, I applaud them for arresting the parents, but I feel as if the teacher, the principal of that school, has to come under some, scrutiny, and they're probably going to have some serious lawsuits coming their way, because they were aware of this boy's behavior. The day before, after he had his gun and he was showing off, and I guess talking about it or whatever, He was in school researching ammunition for the gun. They found it. They caught him. They told his parents about it. You know, his mother sent him a text message saying, LOL, I don't blame you. Just don't get caught.
Right. Right. Then, she says, I'm not angry at you, I think.
Yeah, that don't get, she, LOL. I think she even LOL'd it. And don't get caught. Then the school saw drawings of what this boy was doing. Saw people, you know, blood and killing people. And then he wrote, you know, he can't be stopped or somebody stop him. Or this is all his blood everywhere. This. How are you the principal of a school who is aware that a child is doing this? Not only that they're drawing this, you also saw them researching bullets for his gun. You asked about it. They I think they told them that, yeah, he just got this as a gift. I'm not sure. I might be throwing that in. I'm not sure if that's what happened. But they called the parents in for a meeting. They had a sit down with the boy. They called the parents in for a meeting. When they saw those drawings, they had a discussion with the boy again. But they asked him to go back to school. He went back to class. And hours later, the same day, after that meeting, this child killed 4 children, wounded a few others. How do you reconcile that? How are you a principal, knowing that school shootings are not a one-off thing? They have been happening for a long time now. People have drills, like the school itself, they have drills. That's how they knew to barricade the doors.
Did you watch the children in the classroom?
Yeah, I saw.
And
I
their
saw,
interaction. Right. I was like, oh my God, yeah. This is unreal.
So these, they have drills. This is not a one-off. This is not, things like this never happen. You know that school shootings happen. A lot of times it's a student that's doing this. Why would you not send that boy home, tell the parents, as the principal of this school, This is a second occurrence. It's weird. It may not be anything, but just out of an abundance of caution,
you took the words out of my mouth.
You know, I'm gonna send him home. Maybe have him go sit with a therapist, psychologist, whatever have you. Come back with a letter that nothing is okay. Until then, your son is going to be at home with you. You understand? If the parents say, no, you cannot, he never had disciplinary, what, I'm like, well, that's fine. It's something that I'm willing to take on your annoyance of that. But I have a responsibility to the school and all the students and teachers that are in my school. Why do you send him back to class?
Maybe he looked non-threatening. I don't know.
How does someone look non-threatening, please?
I don't know. I'm just saying that there must have been something about him that would not have allowed some sort of implicit bias to occur, where they were like
in trouble before,
where they were that, and maybe the way, because sometimes that implicit bias thing is a bit funny. Maybe if he was bigger, because if you saw the boy, he had a vlog or vlog whatever on YouTube or something, and if you see him and when he's talking, he's such a
vlog.
Thank you, vlog. He's such a I don't want to call him a shrimp, but he's such a nondescript looking guy. He's like, you know, he just looks like a regular kid. He's not overly big. He doesn't have strange hair. He doesn't have, he has no red flags, literally.
To who? To me, he's red flags all day long. Because here's the thing, and I was talking to B about it. It's possible that he'd been bullied.
It's very possible.
You know, yeah. Because if you see the people he targeted, those are the popular people in the school. Cheerleader, football player, you know, quarterback, one of the smartest kids in the school, an art student or whatever. These people were top of the food chain, if you want to call it that. He's red flags to me all day long. Because it's possible that he was being bullied. Here's things that happen to you. If you're being bullied, one of these things will occur. You're either going to resent the bullying situation, recall, never ever talk about it, and start planning your revenge.
Right.
You commit suicide. Or you have several different you know, plans to commit suicide.
Or.
And then you maybe you you have a very good relationship with your parents. So you open up to them and you tell them, this is what is happening to me in school. And then your parents say, honey, we can take you out of school, or we can sit down with the parents of those children and try to work things out. Because a lot of times, bullies,
so hold that
bullies
thought.
Want to be your friend.
Hold that thought. And mm-hmm. I want us to circle back to this, because what you're saying, I'm going to use that and use it as a jump and segue off into some other topic, because you're talking about bullying. You're talking about parents taking kids out of school. There is a case right now that's trending in Nigeria. I don't even know if you've heard about it, but some apparently prominent college, high school, really, Dowen College in Lekki in Nigeria. And this 12-year-old boy had been bullied. Comes out now that he had actually told his parents that didn't want to go back to school. But he had had four other siblings who had graduated from that school. And so they sent him back. And these other kids, I don't know if it's called them kids or murderers or whatever, go into his dorm room is what we're hearing, and just literally beat him up and also force him to drink. All these are stories, so I don't really, there's been no police report yet that I've seen. Force him to drink something and then beat him to pieces, and warn all the other kids in the dorm not to say a word, and they were supposed to tell a lie and say that they were playing football and that's how he got bruised. This is the bullying. By the time his parents or his legal guardian came to pick him up from school, they took him to the hospital. He died, what was it, 2 days ago? 12-year-old.
Yeah, that I think I saw that story, but I've seen two. On one of the stories I saw, they're claiming that he's the only child.
No, he's not.
An only son.
No,
so,
he might be an only son. No, he's not.
The story specifically said, my only child, my only son. So I don't know if that's another case of another child being murdered in the same way where I saw that story, or I don't even understand. Then I also saw the one
so
you're
let
talking
me,
about.
Let me say this. I am close to a friend. I have a close friend whose son is in that school and was in that same class and knows this child who died. So I can confirm that he was not an only child. I can confirm that he had an older brother in the school. But what I was also thinking is, and this may be a probability, is that the man may have had several wives. This may be, only child.
Yes, because it was the woman's. It's the woman's story.
Exactly.
Yeah. So because she was my only son, my only child.
It's
so
possible she may be a second wife. Okay. Too, because the age difference too between him and the older ones, they're all graduated from the school, is a lot too. So I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't been able to narrow it down.
Maybe it's a polygamous family, and then this is the woman's only child,
yes,
and her only son. Okay.
But you see what you're saying about. Has child said to her, I don't want to go back to school. He said it.
So good. So let me go on about the story. She was talking about how the child she sent to school came back a completely different picture. Like, he wasn't that happy, joyous person he was. You know, she bought him a bicycle, something that he has fun with. He wasn't even into it. And then the day he was supposed to go to, they asked him what was wrong and he wouldn't say anything. And then the day he was to go to school, he now said, do you think you can tell dad to change my school? And then she asked why, and then he said, don't worry about it. And that was that. That's how that happened.
So let me help you out there. Remember I said when this child was beat up by the other children, they had warned every other child in the room not to say a word, and that if they did, they would come back and revisit upon them the same beating that they had just given this boy. It is scary that all of those children lied and said they were playing football. It was only when that school was closed down and the kids went home that one of the kids confessed to his mother, please, na lie, this is what happened, and we were threatened, so we couldn't say anything.
So the thing is this, that this bullying is not
new.
It's not. This is some, especially children at that age. They all go through this. We all went through this.
There's bullying and there's criminal behavior. No,
hold on. But that's when it's not checked. That's when it devolves into that, when it's not checked. And it's not checked because the person being bullied feels they don't have an outlet. What am I going to do? I'm going to come back to this school and they're going to treat me the same way. So I'm just going to keep quiet. So that's what I don't understand. I don't understand. When do they start teaching biology? When do they start teaching about hormonal activity in children? When do they start explaining to children, this thing you're doing, it happens because you're growing. You're growing into puberty. You're experiencing a whole bunch of things. Don't get carried away. When you start behaving crazy, talk to someone. When do they start doing that?
I honestly don't know. You know, there's a similar case of a 14-year-old girl in Abuja who was, I want to say she was raped because she died of sepsis and they found, I think she had a condom that was left inside her by the kids who raped her in school. It's too much.
It's crazy. So they've, because they don't have these conversations with the children, the bullies stay bullying and just get worse. And the bullied stays bullied and doesn't talk to anybody and doesn't understand that, you know, there's a way out. Let's try to work this thing out. Let's figure out how I need to talk to my parents. So parents need to get more involved in the lives of their children. How is it that you notice that you send your child to school and he comes back a different thing and then you talk it up? Do you have conversations with your children? Do you talk to your children? Do you forget that you were once a child, or did you grow up and you were never bullied? Did you grow up and you never bullied anybody? Like, what's your life? Yeah, exactly. What's your life? What aren't you understanding about, you know, the stages of life? You were once a child. So you have to know there are things that are happening to your child that you may have experienced.
Do you wonder that, you know, now that we're talking about it, is it possible? And I'm just saying this is probably left field, though. I don't know. Is it possible that the parents of this child went to get a weapon for him to protect himself because he was being bullied? Maybe they talked about, who knows? I don't know. Maybe they're trying to give him some agency.
Which is why he's in, listen, it's so funny.
Because now you're saying that the mom says, don't do it. You know,
yeah, I think she said
a text to him.
She said, hello, don't get caught.
Maybe they gave him.
I don't blame
you. No.
The
don't get caught. That conversation happened when they called her into the principal's office,
right?
Because
of
the research she was doing.
I'm talking about
when the shooting started.
Yeah,
and she said, don't do it.
That's why
I wonder if they had given, because it's, are you sure they didn't give him the gun to protect himself in school? Like, who knows?
Schools, weapons have no, you're not, if you, a regular person, are walking by a school and you have a gun, you get arrested. Schools, playgrounds where children are, the airport, if it's not in your checked baggage, government buildings, if you're not a police officer who's working and you're supposed to be there with a weapon, you are committing a crime. So no parent is giving their child a gun to protect themselves. That's rubbish. That's why they're
saying, are you sure that's not what, I'm not saying that they're allowed to. I'm saying, could that be the reason why they gave him the gun?
I'm saying that's why they were charged. They're complicit in the child's behavior. That's why they're charged. You know?
It's possible.
Whatever the case may be, a child tells you someone's bullying you and you go buy a gun and tell them, okay, kill this person.
I don't think they said that.
You
maybe
go to jail.
Have this to give yourself a sense of agency or whatever.
What do you think?
Okay,
someone gives
you
a gun. What are they telling you?
So that you can protect yourself. Now, I don't know what they say guns are for.
No. You point a gun at somebody, you better shoot. So someone who's saying he has a gun to protect yourself, they're telling you kill someone. That's essentially what they're saying.
That's a leap.
How is it a leap? I'm a gun owner. How is it a leap? I'm telling you. You point a gun at you. You're never. So why do you think Alec Baldwin is talking to Stephanopoulos or whatever his name is and saying he didn't pull the trigger? He would never point a gun at somebody. You are not supposed to point a gun at a human being. And if you point a gun at a person, be prepared to use it. Any gun shop you go to, they will tell you, do not ever point a gun, whether it's loaded or unloaded. Do not point a gun at anybody.
Period.
You don't do that.
Okay, that's good to know. I didn't know that. I've never held a gun in my life. I'm not a gun owner, so.
Well, I am, and I'm telling you. So this is something you don't do. So a parent who is telling you, oh, use this as protection. No, they're telling you, be prepared to kill a person.
But and in that, defense of, but in it. Defense of yourself, not like go out there and kill someone.
How is it in defense of yourself? If someone is chasing you to kill you, you run. That's in defense of yourself. Okay, are these bullies, you know, pointing guns at you? Are they stabbing you with knives? Are they hitting you with sticks? What are they doing? Or are you just in class and they're calling you names as children do? What exactly are they doing? What parent does that? If you have a child who's being bullied, you have a meeting with the child who's bullying you and their parents. What's the problem? What's my child doing to you? Why do you feel the need to, you know, disturb his schooling day or whatever, his education? What's your problem? That's how you solve that. And then you give your child the option. You talk to the principal. You tell the principal, this is what's happening to my child. If you can't control it, let me talk to my child. Child, do you want to move to a different school? And that's what you do. The principal should get rid of those bullies who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing so your child can have a good way of life. You don't tell your child, here's a gun to protect yourself. That's not what you do.
I'm not saying, understand that I'm not saying they should. We're just having a conversation about, like we said, this is probably why they were charged. You know, the behavior, there's no justification for their behavior, but it is what they did, right? Or maybe it is what they did. We don't really know. Let the defense attorney come and tell us what they did. Because
the defense attorney has told you what they did. You took the child to a gun shop to buy him an early Christmas present. You have a minor in the house. You did not lock up this gun. You are responsible. Okay? Here in Colorado, well, I don't know if it's the whole of Colorado, if this is a you know, locale kind of law or whatever. Because, you know, they've had a lot of those school shootings here. Here, if you are a gun owner and your gun goes missing and you never reported that gun missing and that gun is used in commission of crime. Now, I don't know if they've passed this law because I know they were talking about doing it. And that gun is used in the commission of a crime. You can be held liable for that. See, because you did not report your gun missing.
What if you didn't know the gun was missing?
Why didn't you know?
I supposed to be checking your gun where you keep your gun every night. What if you just, you know, you bought a gun, you put it away and you put it in a safe somewhere. You've not checked it. Your figure is there whenever you need it.
Tell me, how will you know that your gun is missing?
I'm not a gun owner.
No,
I'm
why
just
do you
saying,
often replace
gun I buy
replace
something.
The gun with a pen or something else.
Right. So I buy something.
Uh-huh.
It's not something,
something
I use all
of
the
value.
Time. Yes.
Okay.
And I put it in a safe,
mm-hmm.
and I lock
if
it.
If it's
or
in a
whatever.
Safe, why should it disappear ever?
What if, you know, a lot of these crimes or things that we found out are committed by people who know or who have access. So
how
it could be a relative
access?
Who gets your what you call it, your combination to your
so
safe
let,
without
let
you
use,
knowing.
Let me use your ATM card. If somebody withdraws money from your ATM card, right? And the ATM, the camera didn't picture you with somebody behind you with a gun behind, you know, at your back. If your money is taken out of your ATM and your PIN is used to withdraw money, you will have a long process trying to convince the bank to give you back that money because it's your PIN.
I'm not disagreeing with
you. Nobody's supposed to have access to it. So,
I agree, okay. But I'm saying that, but we do know that there are cases where, like my PIN, for example, or even your password or something, sometimes when you have people around you or relatives or close people with you, they know your passwords, or they're able to guess it, or whatever the case may be.
Then you don't have a good pin.
You may, agreed, but you may not find out. I mean, I guess that's all part of the investigation. The people will find out if you were willful or if it was deliberate. Or
nobody has time for that. The fact of the matter is you are supposed to make sure that nobody has access to any of these things. And if they have access to it and you are not aware, because I don't know, see how you won't be aware that it was stolen. If it's in a safe, nobody's coming, nobody's cracking your safe. The only people that are cracking your safe are thieves. And then if it's someone stole from you, then you're aware that something got stolen.
I'm not saying eventually the person would not find out that it was stolen, but maybe they didn't find out until before the crime was committed. Well, let's talk about things of value. I was with a friend once, and she didn't realize she had like a small wallet that she had her ID and some credit cards in. She didn't realize she dropped it off somewhere where we were, just on the table. And we left. And I just happened to look back and I saw the wallet there and I took it and I put it in my purse. And it wasn't until the next day that she was looking around. She's like, oh my God, I can't find my license. I'm like, really? I was like, oh yeah, I picked it up yesterday. You left it on, you know, on the table. Sometimes it's carelessness, yes, but everyone is human. People, you know, people are human beings.
You know, I hate hearing that. And I hate is such a strong word, but I hate hearing that people are it's human and things like that. That goes without saying that people are human and things happen. But then you also have to have your wits about you. You also have to be aware of certain things. Now, you know, being absent-minded and dropping your card or forgetting to take your card or whatever, or you know, you could be in a situation where you're really agitated. I know that's happened. That's different from not checking on a deadly weapon that's going to kill someone. You have a child in your house. Look,
just be like me. Don't own the gun in the first place.
No, then you don't need to check on nothing. In your house, well, unfortunately, people are not like you. People like their guns. People like to go to gun range. People like to have fun with their guns. The point of the matter is, you have a child in your house who has behavioral problems. You know it. You know your child. You know, and you decide to encourage that behavior by buying them guns, by making them feel that behavior is good. And for all we know, he might even be the bully. In fact, while I'm even saying he's being bullied, he might even be the bully. We don't know. But either way, whether he's the bully or he's the one being bullied, that is not the way to handle it. Here's a gun for you for Christmas. It's not. So they'll sit down in the cell right next to their son and they'll be happy.
It's such a sad situation, honestly. Four children dead. Somebody woke up in the morning, you sent your child to school to go and learn. And they're calling you to tell you a story.
A story you knew was going to happen.
Which story? You know? Talking about the people who lost their child. Oh, not him.
The person who...
Talking about the parents who are going to have to bury their child.
It's terrible.
Because when they sent that child to school in the morning, there was no expectation that they'll be looking for funerals and caskets. It's just nonsense. Complete and utter rubbish. I just need to breathe. It's just so annoying. 12-year-old. I don't even know how old these ones were. Send your child, oh yeah, go to school. Go and become a contributing member of society. Go and learn.
They're high schoolers. In this week alone, there's the two kids who killed, you know, their teacher or something like that. I mean, it's just over and over again. I honestly don't know what's being taught in the school, because the reason that I'm aware of how, you know, hormones behave or how they affect children at that age is because we were taught that in school. the hormones just take over you, and just it's crazy how these things happen. And I forgot it for a second, but it's the truth. And these children do these things, and that they allow it to happen. And I don't understand, because there are movies about this over and over again. People, don't you see movies about it every day? Somebody's getting bullied, you know, they plan to come back and take care of the people who are bullying them.
It's funny. A number of people I've talked to, when we're discussing the stories and we get into the conversation of kids being bullied, they're like, yeah, that's what happens now. I'm like, like, really? And I know that, you know, they're bullies, and bullying is part of school or whatever. I don't even know if it's part of school. It's just bad behavior.
It is part of it. It is more the norm than not. The problem is handling it and how to handle it. It is more norm than not. And one thing you're going to notice about bullies, people pick on people they like for some reason. Why do you like this? You know, there's something about that person that they like. And then in another situation, it could be they're getting bullied at home, right? Somebody's bullying them at home. So they come to school and they pick someone who reminds them of themselves, or somebody who is little enough to where they can inflict.
They're just echoing the behavior.
Right. This person is doing this to me, so I'm going to do this back to this person. There's a psychology behind it. What I don't understand is why parents, teachers, schools who are aware that this isn't new, why they can't figure out the best way to deal with it, to make sure it doesn't escalate to something like this. I don't understand it. You know, especially parents, when your child comes home and the child that you brought up, who's fun, who likes to go out, who likes to have fun, who likes to do fun things, is now reserved. You call your child.
And you send the child back to the school. I remember when my youngest brother was going to boarding school, and the first boarding school he went, you know how you go with all your provisions and your clothes, and we had this big talk box or whatever, and he went to school with everything, and you know, you have the list, you buy everything brand new, they check it off when they check you in. Half term, not even full term, half term, the boy came back home nothing, came back literally with just the shorts he was wearing and the shirt he was wearing. Everything else was gone. My mother didn't even think twice. She just removed him, withdrew him from the school immediately. She's like, let him not come and kill my only child, as we used to call him then. She's like, story.
I was bullied.
We drew him up and put him somewhere else.
I was so bullied. And in my mind, I was like, this is probably what's supposed to happen. You know, you have to go through this. You know, it's your rite of passage, because me too, one day I'll be a senior and meet
up. And you'll bully.
I would do the same thing.
The story
was what kept me going.
A friend of mine, I was having a conversation with her, just talking about this bullying thing. And she was so irritated because she said when she was younger, same thing. She was like, okay, this is my rite of passage. I'm going to wait until I get to senior secondary school and then I'll be able to do my own. And she said by the time she got into SS1, there was this rule, because of all the bullying that had been going on in the past, they stopped everybody
for me. It was
time. And she's like, they said you couldn't even send anyone to fetch.
Exactly. You know,
pin.
By the time I became
she's so irritated.
By the time I became a senior, I don't even know that I even had time for that. Like, by this time, I was, how shall I put it? I was now fully developed. So my interest changed. I wasn't interested in bullying anybody. All I wanted to do was bail out of school, go have fun, do all these little silly fun things and not pay attention to school or anybody else. I just wanted to have fun. But from the minute I got into school, for 3 years, bullied. I'll never forget. I talked about it. You were there. The thing when I talked about that senior, she had me leaning down. It's traumatic.
I was bullied as well.
It stays
with
you.
It is traumatic.
Yes.
And it's real.
And it stays with me. I will never forget her name. That's how bad it was. you know. But I didn't think to come and, you know, inflict pain on her. Even though what kept me going was, don't worry, me too, one day I'll be a senior. One day I'll be a senior.
I kept saying, be sending people to fetch water.
To fetch water. I kept saying that to myself. When that time came, my focus changed.
Yeah, but you know, Venus, we're still talking about, even what we're talking about is fairly benign behavior when you're talking about bullying or sending on errand. I'm still saying some of these things are at the level of criminal behavior. What beating someone, raping someone, that's just criminal behavior.
It escalates and you don't report it, right? See, this I'm saying I was bullied. You think it was just sending? What do you know? What does telling someone to kneel down in the middle of quadrangle under this big fat tree
that's that punishment.
Houses, hold on, the house, what is that? Is that not the same thing?
Punishment.
The house is bats, millions of bats. You're on bare ground with
and
your
they'll
knees.
Forget about you if they leave you bare ground. I was on what you call it, gravel. I mean,
what
we had to kneel
their
down
stones, their bottles, their all those things there.
So
you're,
was gravel
down there. You're there the entire time. It doesn't matter what it was. I'm trying to tell you that someone told me to kneel down there the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of
mine told me to kneel down in the middle of the hot sun. I went to sleep.
What do you think the middle of the day is? I was there from the beginning of the day. Why aren't you understanding what I'm saying?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm adding to the conversation. I'm saying I agree.
People were walking around. The whole school watched me there the entire time. You know, you see how you're laughing now? Do you see the people who passed me that laughed? The people who, so and some people are, you know, your fellow junior friends are like, what did you do? You know, I kind of think, you know, people are pointing and laughing. People are saying this, people are saying this. Yeah. Then nighttime comes. It's not enough.
Yeah, I told you my story about that. Now that's what I'm saying. She left me out there and went to sleep. And after what I thought was a reasonable amount of time,
you,
I got
you
up.
Walked off exactly.
I was
so,
like,
so you had the presence of mind to leave. I said, me, I don't want these punishments to go from, because it even started from something. You know those punishments they used to give you in school where they tell you, go fill a basket with a
water.
Teaspoon. Well, it's not getting filled. First of all, you're using a teaspoon, but it doesn't matter what you use. That basket is never going to get filled. And then when you finish that one, she'll tell you, go to senior, this, tell her this. Or they give
you, must have really upset her.
Right. You know, they give you 50 kobo and they tell you to go and buy some stuff and bring back change. You know, she had me doing all those things. And there was no way I could, you know, deliver. So the worst one was when she sent me to go and buy her stuff and bring back change. I told her, look, this is how much you gave me. And I said, huh? I said, but I can't bring you change. That's not even enough to buy what you're asking. You know that whole, hey, you're talking back to me.
You were like, having a conversation. You know?
I said, look, we have to be reasonable about this thing. She's like, hey! What? What?
How dare you?
You know? So you can imagine her looking at this because I was so tiny. I was this tiny little chinch. And I'm talking like, you can't be serious. You really don't. You really cannot be serious, you know? So I was like, because when she go and kneel down, I said, that makes more sense. I'd rather kneel down to go and try to do something I can't do. Because essentially what they want you to do is use your own money and buy those things. You know? Why would I do that? Well, my money is not even enough for me. Please. I was like, you don't know who you're talking to. I may be tiny, but I'm mighty. I stayed there. I knelt down. And that was it. After that, and after that whole process, I don't think I ever had any dealings with her anymore. Because I think she was like, well, I've met my match or so. And in fact, come to think of it, I think I may have reported her. I can't remember. Because I was like, I'm not going to be dealing with that. Not every day you will
see
me.
It wasn't even that I walked off thinking. I think in my mind, I was like, there's no way anybody in their right mind is trying to be this mean and vicious, you know? I was like, yeah, she probably just forgot. She fell asleep. So let me just...
You see?
Let me get up and go.
There was a little bit of naivete involved. I saw her for exactly what she was, an evil person.
I did not imagine that another human being would be so mean.
No. Huh. I'd seen evil. It was in her eyes. The thing, I said, no, she means it. So I'll do what she's telling me to do until I
had a senior, right, as you were saying, who felt that my eyebrows were too bushy. I'm serious. And I think this is like maybe form one or form two. Senior Ayo, I remember her name. And she called me and she says, come. My beautiful eyebrows. And use razor blade to scrape my eyebrows. And my eyebrows on my left brow have never ever really grown back perfectly since then. Because she scarred me.
Yeah.
She scarred me and I had this huge scar right there.
And what did you do?
I don't even remember.
You didn't report her?
I don't remember. You know, secondary school must have been fairly traumatic for me because I don't remember a lot of things.
Yeah, that's what you do. You push it back.
I completely, you know? I don't, I tell people, I said secondary school was traumatic. I don't remember a lot of things.
Yeah, and that, it's the truth. I think it's the same thing because a lot of things I don't remember, but this one, the trauma was a lot. And I it stayed with me because you know what? Every time I think about it, I think I have to call her one day because I see her on Facebook.
Oh, really?
And she has a sister who was so darling. And I think that's where I started from. The fact that I really liked her sister and I could care less about her. And she felt, okay.
I'll show you.
Yeah. So I think I see her all the time and I feel as if I need to talk to her. You know that whole, you know, I want this.
Are you sure she'll even remember?
Oh, she will. She has to. Is she crazy?
What if she tells you she doesn't?
I'll say, let me remind you.
Okay? Let me refresh your memory.
Don't play me. What do you mean by you don't remember? Everybody, I have friends who remember the whole thing.
People don't remember. She'll tell you she can't remember.
She will
try
remember.
It.
She will remember. She knows. she knows now. In fact, I think I should have a conversation with her because now when I talk about the story.
Do you remember when you, and just hear her come back at you and say, I don't remember. When did that happen?
No, she remembers. She does. She let's not play those games. The fact
that when you have that conversation, come back and tell me.
Oh, you know what? I am going to have that conversation because I need to. Because now when I think about it, I laugh.
Right.
You know, I've just.
It's still trauma.
There are a few traumatic things that have stayed. And I've kept them there to just kind of give me that edge. Because I have a tendency to be really, really sweet. Even though a lot of people don't see it. And
my
I need
bad.
That.
I'm sorry.
I need that trauma
did I,
to
did
remind
you say
me
you
of
have
the...
a tendency
I
to be
do.
Sweet.
I
you.
Do, yes. And I need that trauma to remind me of the evil that people,
that men do.
Exactly. I need it because I'm like, do you remember this? You know, because a lot of things that have happened, like you said, you block it out.
You block
because,
off, right.
Because you don't want that to rule your life. You don't want your life to be walking tragedy and you not, you know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger, right? And you're not getting stronger out of those things. You don't want your life to be like that. You want to be able to go through life as life is and, you know, be successful. Get out of those things, take it for what it is, learn from it and move forward. So you don't allow all those terrible things that happen to you to just stay on you. But there's some things that you need to remind you, to let you understand that there are people out there who are horrible. You know, there are situations out there that are bad.
Kind of like the man who was standing in his own backyard and was covered by poop because some plane was passing by and just dumped their toilet right on him. Kind of those.
No. That's not. No, thank you.
No, thank you. As the quote from the article says, the guy was sitting in his backyard in Windsor, so southeast of England, and a plane just dumped the waste right over him. Like,
how low was that plane flying? Because those sort of things, and why would they dump it in like a largely residential area? Aren't there areas where they fly or they fly over and it's good? And then when they're dropping it, does it come out like proper waste, or isn't there a form that it's
apparently there are several incidents where frozen sewage.
Yeah, is that's dropped. Exactly. That's disgusting though. I don't want to hear it.
When you talk about life dumping shit on you, like literally, ugh.
That's no bueno.
No bueno. But what would happen what would happen if that happened to you? You just.
What are you talking about? It never happened to me. That's disgusting.
You'll be sitting enjoying the sun, lounging, and then you might even look up to see, a plane is going by.
What would happen if it happened to you? What's your answer to that?
I don't know. Well, first of all, I go get cleaned up. Because you don't have a choice. So what's going to happen? Are you going to wash yourself outside?
I don't like seeing another human being sweat. I don't want to see their spit. I don't want to see their sweat. I don't want to see any of their bodily nothing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them seeing mine. That is just the worst.
Yeah. Right. Experience. And I was just thinking. So would you now track all that inside your house? So you'd have to be stripped outside and be hosed down? Like, ugh. Ooh.
So this is what you just sit around and think about. Is it, you actually even... See, this is one of those stories where I immediately throw out of my mind. I don't even want to think about it. The fact that you're even sitting down and wondering about it.
How is this going to work? So I'm going to track poop or shit into your house? Oh, gross. It's good to know what happens to all that waste when we're up there. Doesn't stay inside the plane.
I think he should. Of course, it has to go somewhere. But the thing is, they have to dump it in an area that's not residential. You need to find about that. This guy who had is. Did you say it happened to him twice, or what is his story?
It happened to him. I don't even. But this was one incident that they were talking about. But they did say it happens to other. It's not like it happens frequently. But you know.
Oh yeah, they need to lodge some kind of complaint, because I don't think planes are supposed to be doing that. That's disgusting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, are they really feeling literally like birds? Like, what's that?
Bird shit.
They need to stop. Don't want.
All right. Wow.
Well, I don't know if we were able to adequately discuss these terrible things that are happening.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible.
To me, the long and short of it, and I'm sure parents are like, what's she talking about? She doesn't have children. But I feel as if you are a parent, I think that right now in the age that we're in right now, there's, you know, your mobiles, there's social media, there's all these things that parents feel like, oh, as long as their children are occupied with that, they're fine. And those things are taking away from them being parents to their children. And another thing I feel like is a mistake that a lot of parents make is they keep forgetting that once upon a time they were children. And I feel as if, talk to your children as if you were once a child. Take yourself back to where that child is and imagine to yourself, who was I at this point? And then there are some adults who are anomalies, right? Who never experienced those hormonal spikes, those things that just made you go crazy. There are people who are angels their entire life. Very rare. I don't know if that's even possible.
Me? Moi?
Excuse you. Excuse you.
Et moi? I was a model child.
So maybe they can claim to not have a reference point. But for the most part, I know that all children, all adults went through that phase, and they know how what life was like for them. I know what I went through when I was going through the puberty and teenagers and just the madness that my life was. So think about it when you're dealing with your children. They're not going to want to talk to you, but you have to get to that level with them and explain to them, look, I know where you're coming from. Now you have social media. Maybe I had video cassette back then, but it's still the same situation. You know, we had our things that we went through. So sit down and talk to me. Let me help you out. I'm your mother. That's what I'm here for. I'm your father. That's what I'm here for. Reasonably talk to your children and help your children out so they don't end up being bullies and they don't end up being bullied.
It would still happen, but I guess it's just to mitigate it so that.
Well, it will still happen. It could,
bullies and bullying. But maybe, like you said, not let it get to the point where it escalates to criminal behavior, where it just becomes a rite of passage, right?
What needs to happen is that you sit down, you talk to your children, and you know your children. You should be able to tell when things are different. This woman, she said it. Her child came and her child was different. You had an opportunity to have a conversation with your child.
And you didn't. So the guilt is going to kill her, you know, slowly but surely, not literally, but just emotionally, because there's no coming back. The child is gone. You're burying your child.
You have to spend time with your children. It's not easy, you know, having children. I'm sitting down here and I talk about wanting a house filled with kids. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's something I think about all the time, and how involved you want to be in your child's life. You know, where do you draw the line? Where do you make your child understand, listen, I'm your mother, you got to listen to me, and then, hey, you can talk to me, I'm your friend. How do you make sure you're not too friendly and you're not too, you know,
too permissive, right?
Yeah, you know, where's that fine line, and how do you make your children feel comfortable to come and tell you everything that's going on with them and to save them from situations that just on every level, not just the bullying from school, the grooming from men, you know, who come and take these children and make them into something that, you know, you don't want. There's so many things
right
under that umbrella of parenthood. And right. They need to figure out. So we just, well.
No answers. Sending love to all the parents out there who are hurting. Yeah. And
talk to your children.
We all just have to do better.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway,
that's it.
That's our show.
Circle back.
Thank you for joining us. Leave us a 59-second voice note by clicking on the message button. Comment, like, share. Search for Tea with Mrs. S on the internet.
And if you like what you hear, subscribe by clicking on the support button.